initial appeal. The same is true for the counterfeit Christ. Messiah Yeshua was born in a humble setting with a destiny to be the king. Prince Charles was born in a royal setting with a destiny to be a king. Yeshua's dominant parent was his mother Mary, with a cousin called Elizabeth. Prince Charles' dominant parent is his mother Elizabeth, with a cousin called Mary. Yeshua's mother Mary has testified to us in Scripture that Yeshua was born to be a Savior. Queen Elizabeth, when referring to Charles, has been quoted as saying he is the chosen one, the one destined to rule. So who is the true son of David? It was David who was promised that his throne would never lack for leadership. For anyone to prove their lineage back to King David would be surely contested. That is, unless you're Prince Charles. His genealogical chart has been maintained throughout the centuries, and he supposedly can trace his birth back that far. Therefore, Prince Charles does claim to be the son of David. Who will the counterfeit Christ be? I'll tell you. But this man says he was born for a purpose, and that purpose is to save the world. Thanks for joining us. Friends, people get me. Jesus is coming soon. He'll be coming home. Prince Charles is calling for the unification of the religions of the world. He began that call. Thanks for joining us. Become a part. Send your gifts by faith to Save America Ministries. You are
sent. You've been listening to Viewpoint with Jeff Chrismeyer. Viewpoint is supported by...
Dr. Stan here at Radio Liberty, coming to you from the hills overlooking beautiful and picturesque Monterey Bay and bringing you the news behind the news, the story behind the story, hoping to convince you that reality is usually scoffed at and that illusion is usually king. But in the battle for survival of Western civilization, it's going to be reality, not illusion or delusion, that will determine what the future will bring. And I need to remind you the views that are expressed here are not necessarily those of the owners, management, staff, sponsors, or supporters of the station you're listening to. They happen to be my views. And, of course, for the next hour, they're going to be the views of Pastor Billy Crone of the Niagara Frontier Bible Church. Pastor Billy, thank you so much for being with us.
Thank you, Dr. Monteith. It's always a pleasure to be on.
Well, we're going to be talking about, is it fearsome creatures, fearful creatures?
Fearful creation.
Fearful creation. So you go right ahead.
Yeah, fearful creation basically is a study. It's the final section. It's the five different sections. This is the fifth and final one that we've done on our creation study. And we've created these studies, and of course, certainly this one, not only to show the bankruptcy of evolution, but this one deals specifically with the topic of dinosaurs. And really excited to finally get to it. It's been a six-year project off and on, and not only excited to finish it, but excited to get the information now, because invariably you could deal with the issue of intelligent design, proving that there has to be a God, and it takes more faith to not believe in a God after you look at the design in everything from the telescope to the microscope. You can prove that we haven't been here for millions and billions of years like they would have you and I believe, and you can show the bankruptcy of all the Darwinian mechanisms of how it's supposed to happen, evolution, with natural selection and mutations and things of the like, and you can show that those are bankrupt. They don't even work, and they even admit it. Okay, but invariably people ask this the big question, oh yeah, but what about the dinosaurs? Always seems to come around to that. Well, that's what this study is all about. And again, folks, we're getting this information out to you, to the public, to show you that evolution, it's not just a battle of worldviews. This thing's using against us. Number one, it's a big lie, because the whole premise of evolution is there's no God. And if there is no God, there is no hope. And if there is no God, there is no hope, there's no meaning to life. And we wonder why our world is so hopeless. But worse yet, folks, what you need to understand, this is another thing that we're trying to get out there, is you need to understand that evolution is the justification that they're using to build the New World Order, where, amongst many other things, folks, they not only plan on putting you and I under global slavery like we've never seen before, but they really do want to annihilate 90% of the world's population and usher in their own so-called modern utopia. And what I thought was really interesting, the thought hit me this afternoon, Dr. Monteith, getting ready for our talk tonight, was the old science fiction film Logan's Run. And if people remember that, I'll just read to you the tagline about what that society, that movie was about. It was, quote, about a future society in which the population and the consumption of resources are managed and maintained in equilibrium by the simple expediency of killing everyone who reaches the age of 30, preventing overpopulation. Now, if you don't remember that movie, you might want to go check it out, because I really thought that that was a neat way to encapsulate why you need to understand that evolution is a lie. It's not just a battle of worldviews like, aha, it's Christians against the other people. No. It's much deeper than that, folks. They're using this lie. It's just like the movie Logan's Run. They're using this lie to create this utopia, to convince you and I, like they did in that movie, that it's perfectly fine. We will tell you when you can live and when you can die. And it's all about the ecology, and it's about preventing overpopulation. And, folks, it's all a lie, as the character in that movie found out. It was all a scheme, and there was a whole new world out there that was being kept from them, and that's what evolution does. And that's what we're trying to get out to the people. Just because they got the mass media of education and Hollywood behind them, hey, folks, we're trying to do our best to get the information out to you. You make up your own mind and see if they have not created a modern-day Logan's Run society, and it's time to wake up before it's too late.
Well, there really are people who want to kill off most of the people in the world. And ladies and gentlemen, if you haven't read my Population Control Agenda monograph, you can go up on the Internet and just type in Population Control Agenda. Type in my name if you want to, but you don't need to. You'll see it there, and certainly it will give you the background, the quotations from the people. And there's so much more. It's 10 years old, but there really are people, and certainly they're going to be using nuclear war, I believe, in the very near future. We're talking very near future, to eliminate millions more. Pastor Billy, you go right ahead.
Well, and at the outset, you know, Dr. Monteith, people might think, well, that's kind of crazy, comparing evolution. I thought that's just, you know, science, a theory of life. And to the movie Logan's Run, they're going to exterminate us to create this utopia for the, you know. No, folks, you need to understand the premise of this. According to the live evolution, it's basically the strongest, the fittest, get to survive. Okay? And, of course, they're on top. You and I are the scum on the bottom. And so they get to decide that they get to live. We don't get to survive. Only a few of us that get to, you know, serve them. And if you don't think that's true, folks, and that provides that premise, then just ask Hitler. As we exposed before, I don't want to go into it again, but he wasn't just an occultist. You need to understand, folks, he was an evolutionist, and that's why he was exterminating the Jews. They were the last on his, what was called, Hitler's hit list. Okay? But if he would have accomplished that, he would have kept on moving until he created his Aryan race. The next people, according to his list, who were next on the hit list was the black African folks, the Orientals, the Slavics, and on up it goes. Okay? But here's the whole point. Where does this whole mindset come from? How could these people think of these things? What kind of atrocity is this? Excuse me, who are you to sit there and take control of this planet and decide which 90% gets to be annihilated? Well, folks, I'm telling you, it's because of evolution. Evolution, you're sitting there, if you go back again to that theme with Logan's Run, the movie, how did they convince those people that it was a good thing to enter into that chamber when you reach the age of 30 and kill yourself? Well, obviously, somewhere along the line in the premise of the movie, they were educated from wee high to think that. I'm telling you, folks, that's the same thing that evolution does. It's the belief system that they put upon you and I from wee high to get us to go along with creating this utopia, okay? And that's why they fight against it so vehemently, folks. That's why they don't want to get this information out to you, because they know that you will, the logical conclusion, when you start to look at the evidence of what's really going on out there, folks, you'll realize that the Judeo-Christian belief is true. And that's their greatest enemy. They know, folks, if we believe in the Bible and the Genesis account, literally, just like our founding fathers did, that all men are created equal and are endowed by our Creator, not a cosmic accident, then they cannot pull off the New World Order. I've quoted it many times. I'll quote it again. Horace Greeley, he said, it is impossible to enslave mentally or socially a Bible-reading people. It's the principles of the Bible, folks, he says, are the groundwork of human freedom. That's why they took prayer out of the schools. That's why they took the Ten Commandments out of school. That's why they took Bible, the Bible out of schools, folks. That's why they don't want you and I to go down that route. They want to usher us into this new way of thinking, thanks to evolution, and create this Logan's Run type society. Okay? And folks, you need to understand, they don't want you to hear the good news. The good news is this. This is also why we created the study. You don't have to wonder, folks, what's going to happen when you die. God's made a way through Jesus Christ that we can know for sure that when our time comes, and it's coming, we're going to go to heaven. Okay? And that's another thing that the live evolution is keeping people from seeing.
Hold that thought. We'll be back in just a moment with Pastor Billy Crone. Well, this is Dr. Stan, and Pastor Crone makes the point that basically there are only really two philosophies. Either the Bible is true or the Bible isn't true. And if evolution is a fact, as they're teaching our children, as CBS and ABC and NBC and Time Magazine and Newsweek Magazine and U.S. News and World Report and Wall Street Journal and certainly the New York Times will tell us that, you know, evolution has been proven scientifically, and after all, dinosaurs died out 50,000 years ago, and it was just billions and billions of years ago that the Earth was formed. If that's really true, then the Bible is totally fallacious, and we really have no hope if there's no God. What possible reason is there for living? Certainly life then simply becomes a matter of silent frustration, has a meaningless existence. But there really is truth in the Bible. It gives us the opportunity to explain what's going on, and there's certainly evolution is a totally fraudulent concept. But repeat it over and often enough, people will believe. But if you could, as I have, you know, as a surgeon, seeing the intricacies of the human body, of the hand, simply of the hand, there's no way that evolves fairly spontaneously. There's no other animal that has a thumb that works like ours does. There's no other animal that really has the mental capacity that human beings do. I mean, man was created by God for a purpose. But Pastor Crone, you pick up the story.
Well, here's the irony. I mean, they took out the prayer in the Ten Commandments in the Bible from the schools because it might influence kids. And it's like, oh, gee, that's horrible for kids to be influenced with instructions like, you shall not kill, or you shall not murder, you shall not steal, you honor your mother and your father. Yeah, that's real horrible. But folks, when you look at the logical outcome of the belief system of evolution, hello, what do you think is happening to our society? It's not by chance it's been going downhill ever since it was ingested in the early 60s into our schools. You teach kids that came from apes, hello, why do we shout to act like an ape? You talk to, like, the kids, there is no meaning to life, as you just said, Dr. Monteith. Hey, why are we shocked when they so easily and so flippantly take another life? You constantly drill in society's head, there is no God. Why in the world, folks, are we so shocked then that this society has become so ungodly, okay? What you believe determines how you behave. And if you don't believe there is a God, that there isn't a God, you're going to act like it, okay? But it also opens the door for these guys to play God and then begin to act like God and tell you and I what to do, where to go, what we can eat, what we can drink, whether or not we can live. And I'm telling you, folks, evolution is what they're using to get it done. And so this is the final study on that study, revealing the truth, and that's the fearful creation, the dinosaur, okay? And once again, as you stated, Dr. Monteith, it's a lie. And they basically say, no, you got it all wrong. You're a big dummy. We're smart, you're dummy, okay? God didn't create the dinosaurs with man just a few thousand years ago. Don't be stupid. Everybody knows they died out 65 million years ago, and nobody's ever seen a dinosaur. Really? Do you know that, or is that just what you've been taught from kindergarten? If you guys notice that what they do, it's a brainwashing technique. You get into, not even just kindergarten, preschool, you open up a dinosaur book, and you name one kid that's not excited about dinosaurs. In fact, adults love them, too. It's just, they're pretty cool creatures. They really did exist, folks, okay? And some might still be around today. That's a whole other topic. But anyway, so what do they? You open up a book, and what's the first thing it says? Millions and millions of years ago, right? And pretty much the very next line says, and no one has ever seen a dinosaur. Really? Well, folks, what you're going to see in this study, and we show you the video clips after video clips after video clips with interviews, and not just Christians, there's secular scientists, archaeologists, geologists, okay? And you're going to see there's a whole other world going on out there they're keeping from us, just like Logan's Run, believe it or not, even with dinosaurs. And again, this is the problem. They don't let the alternative come out. They have the power of the whole mass media, the whole mass educational system behind them, and so nobody ever gets the opportunity, by and large, except for the few who dare to run and break from the system, like Logan's Run, and hear what God has to say, okay, especially about dinosaurs, okay? And but you might be thinking, well, wait a second. If God really did create the dinosaurs right along with man, then first of all, you'd think you'd at least find them mentioned in the Bible. Well, actually, that's a good logical thought, but you need to understand, first of all, folks, the word dinosaur, it does not appear in the Bible. Okay, I'll give you that. But guess what? That does not mean that dinosaurs are not mentioned in the Bible. And the reason why the word dinosaur does not appear in the Bible was because the word dinosaur was recently invented. It was coined in 1841 by a guy named Sir Richard Owens, which was long after the Bible was established, okay? And so logically, common sense tells you, you wouldn't expect to find the word, the recent word, dinosaur in the Bible, just like you wouldn't expect to find recent words like a cell phone or computer or fax machine, etc., etc., etc. Okay, that's common sense. But here's what's really cool when you do the research. And see, that's just what it is. They want you to do what I used to do. They want you to don't ever pick up the Bible. Just point at it. Scoff at it. Don't pick it up. Don't look at it. Don't read it. Just scoff at it, okay? And then say, it's just a book whooped up by man. It's there to brainwash you. Okay? But when you do the research, you actually look in there, folks, you'll see that the Bible does clearly mention dinosaurs. Why? Because, hello, God's the one who made them. And the first way that they're mentioned in the Bible, you won't find the word dinosaur, but you will find dinosaurs, not one, not two. We found four different ones in there. Okay? And the first one is the word behemoth. This is clearly a dinosaur, something probably on the order of a brachiosaurus. Most researchers will believe. And this is in the book of Job, chapter 40. Let me just read a short portion of that text to you. You tell me if we're not dealing with a dinosaur. It says here in Job, chapter 40, look at behemoth. God's speaking to Job here. Look at behemoth, which I made along with you, and which feeds on the grass like an ox. What strength he has in his loins. What power in the muscles of his belly. His tail sways like a cedar. That's a tree, folks. The sinews of his thighs are close-knit. His bones are tubes of brawn. His limbs are like rods of iron. He ranks first among the works of God. Excuse me. Yet his maker can approach him with a sword. Okay? And so, obviously, folks, when you take a look at this massive animal here, you know that you're clearly dealing with a dinosaur. And first of all, your first clue is the word behemoth there simply means kingly or gigantic, literally in Hebrew, gigantic, colossal beast. And yet some people would have the audacity to say, and they even will put a footnote, unfortunately, in Bibles, because I would say of the lie and the pressure of evolution, they would actually say when it comes to behemoth, they have make a little note there, and they say, well, this is referring to a hippopotamus or an elephant. Excuse me? Hey, folks, just let the Bible speak for itself. You don't have to make excuses for it. There's no need to make an excuse. Evolution is the one that's made up, okay? It's completely absurd to say this is a hippopotamus or elephant when you look at the text. The text says right there, behemoth, I just read it, has awesome strength in his loins. He's got an amazing power in his belly. In other words, his belly is one of the biggest parts on his body. Now, granted, if you look at a picture of a hippo, it's got a big belly. Elephants have got a big belly. Some of us have a big belly. Okay, but you know that the belly that's mentioned here is much bigger than that. Because what's the next verse say? It says his tail sways like a cedar. Folks, that tells you this creature's tail is so big, it sways back and it sways like a cedar tree. And folks, go look on the internet. Go look at a cedar tree. Those things are huge. Okay? And here's the problem. Have you ever seen the tail on a hippo or an elephant? They're little tiny little things. Give me a break. What, gee whiz, what creature on the planet that ever existed could have had a tail the size of a tree? Oh, yeah, a brachiosaurus foots the bill really nicely, doesn't it? Okay, obviously, you're not dealing with a hippo or an elephant, okay? That's twisting the scripture. But continue on. The very next verse says, his bones are tubes of bronze. Excuse me. His limbs are like rods of iron. In other words, this behemoth creature has some very serious heavy-duty bones. Well, guess what, folks? A brachiosaurus did. His footprints were so big, you could actually take a bath in them. Okay? Which means his front leg was just 20 feet tall. His front leg was 20 feet tall, which means he was about the size of a five-story building. Okay? In fact, one of the biggest ones they ever found was about 150 feet long, weighed 100 tons, and about is equal equivalent to about 14 school buses being put together. Okay? And finally, the description there clearly says that this behemoth ranks first among the works of God. So that clearly suggests, folks, that behemoth was one of the largest, if not the largest, land animal that God ever made, which again fits the evidence that we see in the fossil record with the brachiosaurus. That doesn't fit an elephant or a hippo. They're big compared to you and I, but they're not the cheapest, they're not the first, they're not the biggest. Okay, so clearly, folks, let the Bible speak for itself. You're talking about a dinosaur. But that's not all. The Bible not only mentions behemoth, a creature primarily living on the land, a giant land dinosaur, but the folks, shocker, the Bible mentions even a sea-dwelling dinosaur. Okay, why? Because God's the one who made him. Job chapter 41, turn the page, look at another chapter in the book of Job, clearly talks about a dinosaur, this time in the sea. He says this to Job, he says, can you pull in Leviathan with a, a fish hook? or tie down his tongue with a rope? Can you put a cord to his nose or pierce his jaw with a hook? Will he keep begging you for mercy? Will he speak with you with gentle words? Will you make an agreement with you and you can take him as your slave for life? Can you make a pet of this guy and, like a bird and put him on a leash for your girls? Will traders barter for him? Can you fill his hide? Listen, this is very key. Can you fill his hide with harpoons or his head with fishing spears? Hey, if you lay a hand on him, you'll remember the struggle and never do it again. No one is fierce enough to rouse him. Okay, who dares open the doors of his mouth, ringed with these fearsome teeth? The sword that reaches him, it has no effect, nor does the spear, the dart, or the javelin. Iron he treats like straw, bronze like rotten wood, arrows don't make him flee, sling stones just like chaff, a club to him seems like a piece of straw. He laughs at the rattling of the lance, and nothing on earth is his equal. He is a creature without fear. Why? Because, again, looking at the context, letting the Bible speak for itself, folks, realizing evolution is a lie, they're trying to cover up the truth. Most researchers believe that what you're dealing with here clearly is a sea-dwelling dinosaur, something on the order of a chronosaur or a mosasaur. We give a couple different examples. You can see the actual pictures on the video. And the reason why is because when you take a look at the record of these dinosaurs, the chronosaur and the mosasaur, these things were exactly like what's being described here in the book of Job. They were not only ferocious, but they were extremely long. You try to take one of these on, it would be the last thing you ever do, just like Job had said. They had tons of teeth, just like the description says. And yet the amazing thing is just like with Behemoth, which is clearly a land dinosaur, Brachiosaurus, some people have caved into live evolution and say, no, 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 this Leviathan, no, it's really just some sort of a fish, or maybe it's probably just a crocodile. Excuse me? Hey, folks, once again, this is totally ludicrous when you look at the text, okay? And we'll see here in a little bit, and we'll tear apart the text, and you'll see there's no way this thing could be a crocodile.
Well, of course, ladies and gentlemen, they'll do everything they can to convince you that evolution is true. Why? Because if evolution is true, the Bible is a lie. And that's the purpose of education today, is to deceive our children, and they grow up to be adults, and they honestly believe what they've learned in school. Ladies and gentlemen, we remember the fear of the Lord is the beginning of all knowledge, and unfortunately, we've got an awful lot of kids with very little knowledge. Pastor Billy, go right ahead.
Well, let me show you why there's no way in the world this Leviathan could be a crocodile. Give me a break, folks. You're dealing with a sea-dwelling dinosaur. Okay, first of all, the text said there, as I read, said that he was one.
Gold and silver is tremendously undervalued. Global demand vastly exceeds mine supply by more than 60% annually. There is little in the financial world more certain than a coming explosion in the prices of gold and silver. The U.S. dollar continues to lose value and respect as the world's reserve currency. Our nation faces challenges on many fronts, and a day doesn't pass without another economist bringing forth warnings of impending economic calamity. There has never been a better time than right now to acquire physical gold and silver. Discount Gold and Silver Trading was founded on the principles of truth and honesty. We believe in providing a quality product, quality service, and most importantly, competitive pricing. We provide all forms of precious metals, including American gold, silver, platinum, and rare investment and circulated coins. Silver bars, rounds, and 90% silver bags are on hand for the silver investor. Gold self-directed IRAs are available. Call Discount Gold and Silver Trading at 1-800-375-4188. Toll free, that's 1-800-375-4188.
Well, many men begin having prostate symptoms when they get to be 60 years of age, so Radio Liberty is offering a great product. It's called Prostate Support. It's put together by one of the country's leading health food manufacturers. It contains ingredients which have been proven to work. I know health experts who take the product, and I use it as well, and I think it really is very effective. In addition, we have a product for women during that difficult time of life. It's called Menopause Support. And lastly, we have a product for people who have chronic difficulty with their immune system and nothing else seems to work. It's called Immune Support. All are available by calling 1-800-544-8927. 1-800-544-8927. These products are compiled by a very reliable company. Give us a call, 1-800-544-8927.
Did you know that there's an increasing amount of scientific data which says that fluoride in drinking water is dangerous? Are you aware that your drinking water may in fact contain many unhealthy substances, even things which can cause sickness or disease? If you'd like information on how to remove these contaminants, find out about the Verky water filter. You can call 800-544-8927 for complete information. There is a way to return to having pure, safe drinking water. The Verky water filter. Call 800-544-8927 for information about a product that could protect you and your family from waterborne disease. The number to call is 800-544-8927. Call today.
This is Pastor David Whitney with Institute on the Constitution. Our founders constructed this constitutional republic with the intent that citizens would function as the final check on the power of civil government. But that design would only work if the citizens understood our form of government as well as their responsibilities within that structure. That's why Institute on the Constitution has put together a host kit that enables anyone, anywhere, with any group of people to instruct them on our founding documents. We urge you to order a host kit. You can call us toll free at 866-730-9796. That's 866-730-9796. Or you can order it on the web. Go to our website, iotconline.com. The only way our republic will survive is if its citizens arm themselves with the knowledge of our founding fathers' original intent of the Constitution, the Declaration, and the Bill of Rights. Call us, 866-730-9796.
Type of a dinosaur, one with three horns, and you'll actually see pictures of dinosaurs just following the same description, looking something like an ox, much larger, but with three horns. Go ahead.
Well, and again, that's still not all. Again, you won't find the recent word that was recently coined in 1841 by Sir Richard Owens in the Bible, but again, you will find dinosaurs mentioned in the Bible because, hello, God is the one who made them along with all the other land animals, as the scripture says in Genesis chapter 1. But we not only found a behemoth, a land-dwelling dinosaur, that might list partially also in swamps. We not only found the sea-dwelling dinosaurs with Leviathan. We not only found with the wild ox, clearly a land-dwelling dinosaur. But folks, surprise, surprise, we even find flying dinosaurs, okay? And this is in the book of Isaiah, and this isn't the only occurrence that this occurs, but this is one of them. And it's the word flying serpents, okay? Here's what Isaiah chapter 30, verse 6 says. The oracle concerning the beast of the Negev. So he's going to talk about the beasts that are in this Negev region. Through a land of distress and anguish, from where comes, here's what you're going to find there, the lioness, the lion, the viper, and the flying serpent. Okay? I don't know about you guys, but I haven't seen too many flying serpents lately. And I hate it if they hit my windshield, I might get stuck there. But that's your first clue there, folks, that you're dealing with something much more than just a quote-unquote flying snake. Again, a lot of people believe that what you're dealing with here, folks, let the Bible speak for itself, is a pterosaur, okay? And first of all, it just so happens it fits the evidence that you find archaeologically in the area, okay? Isaiah is mentioning here, what most people don't realize, of this flying fiery serpent, okay, in the Negev, which is near Egypt, by the way. It just so happens to fit the archaeological evidence of a large population of pterosaurs they find in the area. They find a lot of their remains in the area. Hey, go figure. Okay? And it also just happens to fit, this is really cool when you do your homework historically, it fits other occurrences of other classical authors, okay, that describe a large population of pterosaurs in the area contemporary with man, yes, believe it or not, folks, in Egypt and Arabia, in that area there. Let me read just two accounts for you. Jewish historian Josephus, if you're familiar with him, okay, obviously, anyway, famous in history. Anyway, in his writings, he wrote, how Moses, while he was still living in Pharaoh's court, led an Egyptian army against Nubia, and here's what they encountered. Here's the actual quote from the historical writings, okay? And this is about, you know, the times of Jesus Christ, okay? This is contemporary during that time, okay? He says, quote, Moses took and led his army before those enemies, but the area was difficult to be passed over because of the multitude of serpents which other countries do not breed. Something unique is going on here. He says, and yet such are worse than others in power and mischief and unusual fierceness of sight, some of which ascend out of the ground unseen and fly in the air, and so come upon men unawares and do them mischief. Okay? So based on the context there, hey, could a pterosaur have been there flying mischief? that Josephus is recording for us, they find the remains in the area. Is it really that stretch? I don't think so. Another classical author talks about the same kind of creatures. Another historian, Pliny is his name. He says, quote, how these serpents could fly as he marched to fight against Tarhaka, the king of Egypt and Nubia. Okay? So clearly you're dealing with something that's not just a snake, it's not just a serpent. Okay, you're dealing with something along the lines, many people believe it's a pterosaur, okay? But there still remains one little question there. Okay, why is the Bible mention fiery flying serpent? Some want to say it's angels, some want to say, well, maybe it's just the bite of a snake, and they're still thinking it's a snake. No. Okay, it just so happens, folks, to fit the description of modern-day reports in New Guinea, okay, that says there's still a large colony of pterosaurs still alive today. Yes, believe it or not, folks, and still harass people, okay? Now, why is it described as fiery? Well, some of the reports, and we share the actual interviews, okay, from the people there who, we can get into that later or sometime, but they actually say another weird quality of these, they call them the ropin, by the way, you can do the research yourself, and it's not just the natives, but we've got American missionaries and people over there, and they stake their life on it. I'm not joking, this is what I saw, etc., etc. They also have this weird craving for human flesh, and the natives over there used to dig their graves and bury their deceased loved ones with leaves, but because these creatures would come at night and they dig up their bodies, they had to start putting rocks on. But the reason why it's fiery flying serpent is because some of the reports say they have a bioluminescent quality about them, just like a firefly. So at night, okay, they actually look exactly what the Bible records, folks. Not just a flying serpent, but a flying fiery serpent. Okay? And I'm telling you, if you just let the Bible speak for itself, folks, and let the facts remain and don't cover them up like evolution does, you'll see that the Bible really does mention dinosaurs, and we are being lied to put it mildly.
All right, we're going to be back in just a moment with Pastor Billy Crone here at Radio Liberty. Pastor Billy, you go right ahead.
Well, you know, the next line, I mean, this is what we do, folks. So, first of all, by the way, you need to understand, we have got chock full of video after video after video, actual photographs. Lots of work went into this. And again, this is a culmination of picking and poking, a six-year project. And you'll see with your own eyes the actual interviews from the scientists, the geologists. Some of them are still in the evolutionary camp, but what they do is they expose to you, and you'll see with your own eyes, the actual interviews, that we're being lied to. Some of them, maybe they're not Christians at this point, but they'll admit that there's a conspiracy going on. One of the classic interviews that we share on here is these two guys that wrote this book called Forbidden Archaeology. He makes the statement of the ages. It really encapsulates what we're trying to do. And again, to my knowledge, they're not even Christians, so you can't accuse them of being biased, you know, and religious bigots or something like that. But he made the statement. He says, in our research, just looking at what's going on in the evolution community and with archaeology and things of that nature, he said this, it's a brilliant quote. He said, in the last 150 years, what they've uncovered, what these people are doing, he says, quote, they have covered up as much as they have dug up. Okay, and again, you'll see video clips here, folks, again, with people who worked on the field, archaeological digs, and when they find something that's contrary to evolution, you're instantly fired. This one lady that we show the interview, she was working with another colleague, and she told the truth. She got fired. She lost her job, and now she's selling flowers. He deliberately lied because he didn't want to lose his job, and now he's teaching at a prestigious university. We shared the actual interview, folks. You can see with your own eyes. This is not make-believe. We shared the other interview of the daughter of a great archaeologist, And he was doing great, and he was all accepted in the evolutionary community and everything, until he made an amazing discovery. He found a spear point in a quote-unquote prehistoric animal where man wasn't even supposed to be around. It's still embedded in the bone, the spear point. Okay, how'd that get there? Well, he's wanting to get this information out to the public. It started to get out, but once it did get out, instantly they shut down the site. Get this, folks. They paid the people off. Okay.
Hold that thought. Hold that thought. We're going to be back in just a moment with Pastor Cronin. Well, this is Dr. Stan, and before we go on, Pastor Billy, will you go ahead and tell our listeners how they can get to your website, and if they want to get in touch with you?
Sure, you can reach us at our main website at getalifemedia.com. That's GetaLifeMedia.com, getalifemedia.com. Or you can just search for my name on the Internet, Billy Crone, B-I-L-L-Y-C-R-O-N, as in Nancy, C-R-O-N-E, and that'll take you where you need to go.
And I think it's important that people really understand that if you are a scientist, you're not allowed to tell the truth. If you have not seen the video or DVD, it's called Expelled with Ben Stein, a look at what happened to scientists, well-known scientists, prominent scientists, people from the Smithsonian, who actually even suggested that there might be some truth to intelligent design. It doesn't even say there's a God. There's got to be some intelligence behind the DNA makeup of the body, and how these people were simply expelled from the academic community. We do not have science in America today, ladies and gentlemen. We have prostitution and dedication to a concept, and that is an intense hatred of God. There is a conspiracy against God. Pastor Crone was telling about a scientist. He wasn't a Christian at all. He just happened to discover an arrow point buried in the skeleton of a dinosaur. Well, of course, this is wonderful, you know. Isn't this amazing? Well, when the word got out, well, you tell the story about what happened to the scientists who found an arrow point, arrowhead, in the skeleton of a dinosaur.
Well, and that's just it. It was started to make the news pretty quickly there, but it didn't get very far because once the evolution establishment got a hold of it, they literally went down there, shut down the site, escorted everybody off, tried to get the workers to sign affidavits and lie. I think they said out of 60 workers, only 3 caved in, got paid off for saying it was a hoax, but the rest of them refused to do it. But they actually posted people with machine guns so they couldn't go back to the site. Now, how do you call that science? That's not science, folks. It's ridiculous. And the more, you know, again, Dr. Monteith, this has been a 6-year project off and on. And the more you look at it, the more you, quote, uncover and dig up the truth. It really just, even if you weren't a Christian, I was like, man, I cannot believe how much you guys are lying to me. You really take me for that big of a fool. And it's so bankrupt, it's not even funny, folks. I mean, even if they were going to use this for the justification of the New World Order, which they are, but even if they weren't, folks, it is the most ridiculous concept on the planet. It's bankrupt. And they have to have control of the media. They have to have control of the educational system, or nobody would believe it. Because they're buying on the mantra, if you repeat a lie loud enough, long enough, and often enough, people will believe it. That's their only power behind this. Once you start looking at the facts, you're going to find out, man, this is the emperor's clothes all over again on a grand scale. Okay? But let's continue on with the logical train of thought. You might be thinking, well, wait a second. If God created the dinosaurs like the Bible says, then that also means that God created dinosaurs right alongside with man. You mean to tell me that man and dinosaurs live together? Uh-huh, big time. And I'll just tell you this right out outset, folks. They have worked real good at conditioning people that this is absolutely not true, because if this were true, this one element that you can prove that man and dinosaurs coexisted in the same time, same space, their whole theory of evolution is totally bankrupt. I'll quote an evolution that even admits that. But that's what we find, folks. That's exactly what we find. The Bible says in the book of Genesis, chapter 1, it says that God created the wild animals according to their kind, and it was so. He made all the wild animals, all the creatures that move along the ground according to their kind. Right after that, it continues to go on, says, and then God said, let us make man in our image, in our likeness, and let them rule over the fish of the sea and the birds of the air, over the livestock, over the earth, all the creatures that move along the ground. And it says there was evening, there was morning, these 6 days. So the Bible, on the very first chapter, folks, tells us on the sixth day that man was not the only one created on day 6, but so were the land animals. And so common sense tells you that included the who? The dinosaurs, okay? And so that's exactly what the Bible says. But you might be thinking, wait a second, you have got to be off your rocker here. First of all, if man and dinosaurs really did live together, then how in the world did man stay alive? I mean, wouldn't the dinosaurs have chased him down and eaten him up? And doesn't sound like a paradise to me. Well, I agree with you, folks. Dinosaurs chasing around the Garden of Eden, that wouldn't have been much of a paradise either. And why would God call that very good? I don't think so. But fortunately, folks, that's not the type of existence that God had in mind when he created man, yes, and dinosaurs contemporary. According to the Bible, it was a peaceful existence, and the first way we know that is because dinosaurs and man originally were vegetarian. The Bible provides the answer, folks. Man wasn't freaking out, wondering about them. They didn't eat each other, okay, at that time. Genesis tells us, chapter 1, what people were eating. The same chapter that tells you that man and dinosaurs coexisted. God says, I give you every seed-bearing plant on the face of the whole earth, every tree that has fruit with seed in it, that will be yours for food, to all the beasts of the earth, all the birds of the air, all the creatures that move on the ground. Everything that has the breath of life in it, I give every green plant for food, and it was so. And so according to our text, the original in the Garden of Eden, Adam and Eve, they were not screaming, run around the Garden of Eden in total fear that dinosaurs are going to eat them up. No way. The command to eat meat did not come until after the time of the flood. Genesis chapter 9 says, everything that lives and moves will be food for you. Just as I gave you the green plants, I now give you everything. So it wasn't until after the flood that the option to eat meat occurred. But originally, folks, when God originally created all of life, everything was vegetarian. It was called the Garden of Eden, not the Garden of Eaton, okay, for a reason, okay? But you might be thinking, wait a second. Hey, that's all nice and dandy, and yeah, maybe that's what the Bible says, but you have got to be nuts. I mean, haven't you seen the teeth on the dinosaurs? I mean, those things are huge, man. They're razor sharp. They're massive. Surely that means they were meat eaters, right? No. Stop and think about it. They're using propaganda, okay? Just because an animal has large teeth, folks, doesn't mean they used them to eat meat. It just means they have large teeth, okay? And folks, we see that even today with animals. They can have large teeth and they don't eat meat. I mean, have you ever looked at the teeth on a panda? Okay? Pandas got, take a look at them, folks, man. They got these big, nasty, gnarly looking things. Guess what they eat? Bamboo, leaves, okay? But it's got big old mongo teeth, okay? You take a look at some of the monkeys down there, what they eat, okay? Big old, I mean, gnarly looking things. We show you the pictures, folks. What do they eat? Nuts, fruit, vegetation. Take a look at the fruit bat, okay? Yeah, okay, it's fruit bat. That's what it eats what? Fruit. That's why they call it fruit bat. Okay? But guess what? Have you ever seen the fangs on that thing? It looks like a vampire looking thing. It's creepy, man. But it eats fruits. Same thing with the camel, etc. On and on it goes, folks. Just because something has large teeth doesn't mean it eats meat. It just means it has large teeth. And one guy gives an example. You talk about back in the Garden of Eden with vegetarian issue. He says, apparently in Australia, he gives an example. He says, we eat pumpkin like you guys eat a vegetable, like a potato. He says, if you recall, some pumpkins, he says, you almost have to have an axe to chop them open. He says, if you're a vegetarian, you're a big dinosaur, and you're eating these kind of vegetables, he said, you need some sharp teeth to eat them with, wouldn't you? And that totally makes sense, again, if you look at it from a biblical point of view. But the other reason why we know that dinosaurs were not chasing man around the Garden of Eden, okay, is because they weren't all big. Okay, it wasn't just they weren't going to eat them. They weren't all big. And that's another misconception. People assume that all dinosaurs are these big, huge, mega, giant things that were just waiting to squish people around and pop you like a grape. But that's not true. The average size, folks, of a dinosaur was about that of a sheep. Okay, in fact, some of them were small as a chicken. They're even smaller. Okay, and so that tells you that, listen, Adam and Eve, they're not screaming, running their heads off around the Garden of Eden. You know, oh, no, here comes the, you know, the dinosaur the size of a chicken. You know, we show you the picture of one's called a saltopus. It's about the size of a house cat. You know, I don't think that's too scary, okay? In fact, they even depict it with a mouse in its mouth, okay? And so, yes, many of the dinosaurs were big, but most of them weren't. They're about the size of a sheep, okay? And so, again, there's no problem with man and dinosaurs coexisting in a peaceful environment. Now, the other interesting thing, too, is dinosaurs weren't all brainy, okay? Most of them didn't have very, they might have had some of them had big bodies, but they didn't have very big brains, okay? The 29-foot-long stegosaurus, folks, had a brain the size of a walnut, okay? The great big giant apatosaurus had a brain not much bigger than that of a cat, a kitten, not even a cat, a kitten, okay? And if you could shrink the brain of a brachiosaurus, you know, the one that's about the size of 14 school buses put together, if you shrink his brain down comparison to that of a man, it'd be 10,000 times smaller than man. Okay. Now, this doesn't mean that these animals were stupid, as animals go, but obviously it means that their brains were no match for man's brains. Okay, you're probably dealing with something like the order of a big old giant milk cow grazing out in the field. Okay, You drive by the field. Are you scared that it's going to, a milk cow is going to chase you down and eat you alive? No, it doesn't enter your brain, because the cow's brain is no match for your brain. It's just out there grazing in the field, right? And it's probably the same thing when God created them with man, folks. They probably graze like cows in a total peaceful environment, no threat at all, exactly like the Bible says. But you might be thinking, listen, man, you're on a roll here. But you're crazy. You are nuts, man. So the Bible says that God created dinosaurs right along with man. But give me a stinking break. If this were true, we'd at least find somewhere, some physical evidence. Well, guess what? This is the kind of evidence, I'm telling you folks, they don't want you to discover. And there's tons of it out there. Let me give you just a couple examples. Would they actually find human remains with dinosaur remains? Okay. In fact, I'm going to quote that evolutionist I was telling you. That tells you how powerful just one finding, and they don't just find them, they find them all over the world, by the way, folks. And they're covering them up as fast as they're digging them up. Okay. He says this about the implications. He says, quote, and this is Richard Dawkins. He says this. He says, we should be very surprised, for example, to find humans appearing in the record before mammals are supposed to evolve. If a single well-verified mammal skull were to turn up in a 500-million-year-old rock, our whole modern theory of evolution would be utterly destroyed. And the researcher says, guess what? We have found that, listen, rather commonly. And we share with you, again, you could see this with your own eyes, you could see the videos, you could see the pictures, and this is one of them. He says, one very obvious dramatic example is near La Salle, Utah, where, listen, perfectly modern human skeletons, replaced with malachite, are found in a layer that is also found, of all places, this is like God's sense of humor, Dinosaur National Monument, the one that's known for the dinosaurs, okay? And he says, Dawkins' key phrase there was, if a well-verified mammal skull could be found, it would utterly destroy evolution. He says, so we went back to the site and see if we could well-verify it. And he says, here's what we found. It's part of an open-pit copper mine, 20 miles south of Moab. He said the human skeletons were found still in the rock 50 feet down in the Dakota sandstone. He says you can see the pelvis, the knee up to the top, the foot to the lower left. In fact, if you get the tapes, folks, you can see the actual video clips of the humans are. And this is in the same layer of dinosaurs in Dinosaur National Monument. How do you explain this one, man? And you can see it. The people are like all scrunched up, kind of like their knees up in their chest, like they're, you know, being squished. But you can see it. It's clearly human. And it's not faked. It's in the rocks. Okay, with there. And that's what he says. He says, now remember what Dawkins says. If you can well verify this, then the conclusion is evolution would be literally destroyed. He says, quote, I think that's exactly what happened. Then you'll see another video clip on there, and he takes you down to South America. And he says that it's lots of places down there. They find evidence of coexistence of humans and dinosaurs, which he says, of course, evolutionists cannot tolerate. He goes on to show you a picture of a gentleman he worked with, a Dr. Javier Cabrera, and he's 20 years the head of the Department of Medicine in the University of Lima down there. And he had showed them one of his discoveries there, and it was a fossil skull, a human skull, embedded in a tertiary boulder, okay? And being the head, he said, of the Department of Medicine, he knows what a human skull looks like. Hello. And this boulder is really close to the layer right above, or the layer above the dinosaurs, some supposed 60 million years ago, if you believe evolution's date. And he says, and yet there's a human skull embedded there. Now listen to this, folks, and this is the first time that they do this. He said, by the time we came down to investigate, they got the picture, fortunately, okay, and they showed him there, but it had been sabotaged. Dr. Cabrera had made some comments, apparently, to reporters, and news got out. Well, guess what? And this isn't the last time they did it. Someone went down and destroyed it, and all there is just a hole where they bashed it in and completely removed it. But again, they got the pictures, and so at least they have that as evidence. But that's not all, folks. It isn't just that they find human remains. But stop and think about it. Why would you bash it in? Why would you destroy the evidence? I mean, just because you disagree with something, why would you want to destroy it? I mean, if you're so confident in your theory, then why don't you just let the facts speak for themselves? Unless, of course, we really know what your motive is, and this one finding undermines your whole theory and gives credence to the biblical account. Yes, believe it or not, folks, we're being lied to. Okay, they're trying to create their Logan's Run society on us and brainwash us with evolution. Think it's a great thing to let them tell us when we can live and die and what we get to eat and where we get to live and the whole thing all over again, okay? but it undermines their whole theory. That's why they, this, especially this dinosaur issue, because the biblical premise is true. It blows the whole thing out of the water. It's the most explosive argument against evolution. I would say just as powerful, if not even more intriguingly powerful, than even the argument of intelligent design. But that's not all, folks. We not only find human remains mixed in with dinosaur remains, but they also find human tracks right alongside with the dinosaurs. Let me just share with you one of the researches. And again, folks, you will see the actual pictures yourself. You'll see the actual interviews yourself, the actual video clips yourself. We're not making this up. Okay, we provide it for you. You take a look at it, and you tell me if we haven't been lied to. But here's what the researcher said. He says, we traveled down to Dinosaur Valley State Park, and that's where we saw the footprints. And he says, the Paluxy River runs through the park, and there's all kinds of dinosaur tracks all over the place. He said they're made, first of all, the dinosaur tracks were made famous in the 40s by a guy named Roland T. Byrd, who published a number of articles. And you can see the big sauropod tracks, the three-toed theropods. And he says, but in addition to the tracks, the dinosaur tracks, he says they also found human tracks. And he says, you know what, as a scientist, frankly, I was somewhat intimidated because it was just almost too good to be true. And he says, and so we looked around for some that, you know, maybe weren't quite so good. And he says, but they just kept coming out. This is obvious human footprints with the dinosaur footprints. And listen to this. He said one, because this is in Texas, he said one was even identified. Listen to this. One was even identified by the Dallas Crime Lab as a human footprint using the same criteria that they use to identify footprints at the scene of a crime. And they said it's clearly a human footprint along with dinosaur tracks that had just been excavated. Okay? And he says that some of the tracks we found were very, very human-like. It was obvious it was humans. And he says, but the explanation, every time we share this with the evolution community, was, well, no, this is erosion. Or no, it was carved, it was fake. It always has to be one or the other. He said, well, another researcher, a guy named Stan Taylor, decided to test some of these ideas. And, you know, because these had been uncovered for quite a while, not uncovered to you and the public, but uncovered in open air. And so they said, well, you know, maybe somebody did carve these, or maybe it's just some weird erosion or whatever. Okay, so Stan Taylor, he decides to test it. And we show you the actual video clip of this, folks. You got to see it with your own eyes. The tracks go up to this kind of a six-foot high layer of rock, and they disappear because, obviously, the rock's on top of it. Okay, kind of butts up against it, and it just disappears under the rock. You know, the rock's been sitting there. Well, folks, what they did is they said, well, I'll tell you what, let's see if these were faked. And they took a bulldozer, they lifted up that six-foot layer of rock, which had been sitting there forever since it was laid down there. Okay, they lifted it up to see if the trail continued. Guess what? You'll see it with your own eyes. It did. It not only had more dinosaur tracks, it had human foot tracks, once again, fresh, right out of the rock. How can those be fakes? They just lifted up that rock. There's nothing fake about it, folks. They don't want you to find out you were being lied to, especially on this dinosaur issue, because it totally blows away their theory, which will totally blow away their plans to usher in the New World Order.
And in fact, we're going to have to interrupt here, but Pastor Billy actually has the interview. You'll hear the scientists telling how somebody went down and destroyed those tracks that had just been uncovered. They can't let you know the truth. Well, Pastor Billy, we've got 3 minutes for you to wrap up tonight's program.
Well, in the same area, folks, you need to understand, he also, and you talk about destroying it, I'm telling you, folks, they're trying to cover up as much as they dig up. And if the other people dig it up...
Heart disease is on the rise. Clogged arteries, high blood pressure, and high cholesterol levels may not be fully detected by you, but the symptoms are there. Loss of energy, blood sugar spikes and drops, poor circulation, and irregular heartbeat are just a few of these that can alert you that something is wrong. Hear how Heart and Body Extract is making a difference in thousands of people's lives across America.
My blood pressure has normalized. My diabetes has totally improved.
Everyone is telling me now how much healthier I look, and I'm
I'm telling everyone how much healthier I feel. I recommend Heart and Body Extract to everyone.
Anybody over 40 in the North American continent should be using this product as a preventative to keep their cardiovascular system healthy.
Order your two-month supply today by calling 866-295-5305. That's 866-295-5305. Or order online, hbextract.com. Heart and Body Extract, 866-295-5305 or hbextract.com.
You may be new to freeze-dried foods. You may have storable food questions. You may want to buy your freeze-dried foods from a very reputable company and not go broke in the process. Welcome to the Freeze-Dry Guy. Okay, actually, we're more than just one guy. We're a California-based company that's been serving our U.S. military and other government agencies with the finest in freeze-dried storable foods and emergency rations since 1970. See all about us at freezedryguy.com. With Freeze-Dry Guy freeze-dried foods, you can and will be ready for just about any unexpected crisis. Freeze-Dry Guy foods are delicious, require little preparation, and will taste just as fresh decades from now as they do today. Just add hot water and serve. Backpackers consistently rate us number one year after year as the best tasting and ease of preparation. Isn't that what you want for your family? Visit freezedryguy.com or call 866-404-FOOD. That's 866-404-3663 or go to freezedryguy.com. Freeze-Dry Guy, the best you can buy.
Where are my car keys? What did I come in this room for? Where did I put that?
A common condition called age-related memory loss is robbing millions of people of their ability to remember and think clearly. And Alzheimer's and Parkinson's are occurring at younger ages, even early 20s and 30s. And there's much evidence that brain inflammation may be the cause. Brain inflammation may also cause depression and insomnia. But there's great news. Studies show by taking special, powerful nutrients, brain inflammation and its damaging effects may be greatly reduced. And that's why neurosurgeon Dr. Russell Blaylock created his brain repair formula to reduce brain inflammation and maintain a healthy brain. So, for a free book on brain health or information on Dr. Blaylock's special brain repair formula, call 1-800-SPECIAL or visit 1-800-SPECIAL.com.
Sydney, the title is called The Fearful Creation, Fearful Creation. Actually, there are eight DVDs, four in each set. You can get part one and part two. You get them both together to reduce cost. But we think this is vitally important for you to have this information, and we certainly recommend it for you. So give us a call at 1-888-24-LIBERTY. 1-888-24-LIBERTY or 464-8295, but you'll actually hear the scientists telling the stories that Pastor Krohn has been telling. You'll see the pictures, and you have to understand there's a conspiracy against God. That's what it's really all about, and that's why they took God and prayer and the Bible and the Ten Commandments out of our schools. They want to destroy the Christian foundation of this nation because they want to produce a one-world government and a one-world religion. And believe me, we're moving very rapidly in that direction. Everything suggests that the war with Iran will be coming very soon. Certainly our good friend Dr. Cuddy and Dr. Joel Skousen both think it's going to be a fairly short war. I hope and pray they're right. I don't know, but I've got an uneasy feeling that maybe things will not work out exactly as our invisible government, the Brotherhood of Darkness, intends. I hope that I'm wrong. But under any circumstances, I think the war is coming. And you have to understand, on December 6, 1941, most Americans didn't want to go to war. On September 10, 2001, most Americans didn't want to go to war. But they were forced into a war, and we're going to be forced into a war with Iran, whether you want it or not. And you've got to get out there and tell people what's happening and tell them just to create a great furor, a great reaction, saying there's no reason, justification for going to war. So now the intelligence agencies, if they're honest, will tell you that Iran is not working on nuclear weapons. Then why are they telling us that? Because they want a war. We can get into the background sometime when we have time about the background of this war, but it's been planned for well over 30 years. That's why we brought the Ayatollahs to power. We installed these wicked Ayatollahs. We gave them their secret police. They were actually the secret police. The CIA had trained for the Shah, and they became the Revolutionary National Guard. Ladies and gentlemen, we've created once again the best enemy money could buy. We're in real trouble, ladies and gentlemen, because America has turned against God and because there really is an invisible government. If you haven't read my book, Brotherhood of Darkness, you've got to get it. You certainly need to hear the DVDs, The Secret Mysteries of America's Beginning. There are three DVDs in the set. They're very professionally done. And then, of course, we hope that you'll want to get the DVD on the Trial After Commission, Pat Wood's excellent expose. You'll want to get the Emergence is a DVD by Constance Cumby. You'll want to get the DVD on the Atlantis Connection by Chris Pinto. Chris Pinto, who put together the Secret Mystery series, but this is the talk he gave for Radio Liberty. And you must understand that nothing is as it appears to be. There really are people who hate the God of the Bible, and they'll do everything they can to destroy the faith of our children. Our schools are being used to indoctrinate our children in lies. Our kids know far more, certainly about the Madonna than they know about mathematics. They know far more about pornography than they do about poetry. They know far more about sex than they do about Shakespeare, and that didn't happen just by accident. These people, these wicked people who control the educational system, know exactly what they're doing. They just don't want the parents to know, until they've destroyed the souls of their children. Ladies and gentlemen, we got a real problem. We can take these children back if we get the truth out. That's what we do here at Radio Liberty 5 hours a day. If you're in a position to help us, our number is 1-800-544-8927. 1-800-544-8927. Our webpage is radioliberty.com. RadioLiberty.com, and you can go there, watch our DVDs, listen to our programs, read our newsletters, get the information, but get Brotherhood of Darkness, understand what we're really up against, and then, of course, we ask you to pray for Radio Liberty. Pray for our leaders and our ministers. Pray for revival, because we're involved in a spiritual battle, but please pray for Radio Liberty, our provision, and our protection. Dr. Stan here at Radio Liberty, coming to you from the hills overlooking beautiful and picturesque Monterey Bay, and bringing you the news behind the news, the story behind the story, hoping to convince you that reality is usually scoffed at and that illusion is usually king. But in the battle for survival of Western civilization, it's going to be reality, not illusion or delusion, that'll determine what the future will bring. And I need to remind you the views that are expressed here are not necessarily those of the owners, management, staff, sponsors, or supporters of the station you're listening to. They happen to be my views, and, well, for the next hour, they're going to be the views of Cheryl Hancock. And Cheryl is over in Israel, works as a reporter there, and, of course, she is an evangelical Christian, and she's led an awful lot of people into a personal relationship with our Lord, but she works there as a communicaster, certainly has her own radio program. But fortunately, Cheryl is back here. She's going to be here for the next couple of months, and really I'm very relieved to know that she's here. We've had Cheryl as a guest on many times, but I'm very, very concerned that there's going to be a war in the Near East and a separate war in the Middle East, and we're going to be, of course, involved in all of them. But, of course, the people in Israel are going to be on the front line, and certainly without God's intervention, when this war comes about, there are going to be an awful lot of people who are going to lose their lives, and we're just going to have to wait and see. But Everything looks like it's in place. We find out that there was simply a border conflict just the last 24 hours between Israel and Lebanon. Lebanon, of course, the Hezbollah in Lebanon has, I don't know how many, somewhere between 45 and 100,000 missiles. That would include Lebanon and Hezbollah and Syria. But then, of course, these have come from Iran, and certainly Iran is actually arming the Hezbollah in Lebanon. Basically, Hezbollah really dominates what's going on in Lebanon. And, of course, to the south of Israel, we have Hamas there, and they're lobbing their missiles in on a regular basis into either southern Israel. In fact, within the last few days, they lobbed some missiles over. They were trying to hit a lot, but they hit Aqaba. They hit the Jordanian town rather than the Israeli town. Did I get that right? Is it late that is the Israeli town in Aqaba that's the Jordanian town, or did I get it backwards?
No, that's right. Eilat is the Israeli town on the border.
All right, fine. Well, anyway, why don't you tell us what's going on over there, Cheryl, because people hear me all the time. What they really want to hear is what you have to say about what's going on over there. And really, of course, are the people in Israel concerned about the very real possibility of a war?
Absolutely. As a matter of fact, Israel is gearing up in case there is going to be a war. And then some of the advisors to the Obama administration have sent letters saying there may be a war within the next month. And we don't know what's going to happen, of course, but we can see the buildup. The attacks you were talking about just now, the ones that hit Aqaba, which killed a person in Jordan, and four bombs hit into Eilat, those were shot from the Sinai. They were fired from the Sinai Desert, which means Hamas is somehow getting into the Sinai now. And one of the missiles that was fired from Hamas in Gaza was a guided missile. This is the first time in over 8 years that a guided missile has been hit, been shot into Israel, which means they can guide it into populated areas. So the danger level just went up. So, yes, it's getting more dangerous over there. And the thing that happened on the Lebanon border, they attacked the Lebanese army, opened fire on the Israeli soldiers, and three Lebanese soldiers were killed. And now we have three fronts of war going on, plus the front, of course, which is the Palestinian front. And there's a quiet intifada going on. There's attacks within Israel from the Palestinians at checkpoints or firing at cars that are going by, Israeli cars, or throwing rocks at them. So there's always a little bit of attacks going on from the Palestinians.
Now, are these Israeli Palestinians? These are people actually living in Israeli or Palestinian?
Pardon?
Cheryl, are the people who are really throwing the rocks there in Israel, are they Palestinian Arabs there? Is that right?
Yeah, some are Palestinian Arabs from the West Bank, and some are Israeli Arabs from within Israel, Jerusalem.
All right, we'll be back here in just a moment with Cheryl Hancock. We're going to be talking about what's really going on over in Israel today. Well, this is Dr. Stan, I guess, Cheryl Hancock. Hey, Cheryl, are a lot of the Israeli Arabs, are they, most of them really want to get along? Is it mainly the Palestinian Arabs that really want to create the confrontations?
Well, you know what's interesting is a lot of the Israeli Arabs call themselves Palestinian. So what they're doing is joining forces with the Palestinians in the West Bank. I lived in an area in East Jerusalem, and I didn't know better, but I lived there for a year, about a year ago. And there are very religious Muslims that live in East Jerusalem. They are calling for the Muslims to become more religious. And as this happens, the attacks get worse against the Jewish people there. So they're calling themselves Palestinian, and I questioned them. I said, but you're an Israeli Arab. They say, no, we're Palestinians. So they are saying they are Palestinians. Now, there are some Arab Israelis, there are some Arab Palestinians that don't want to have any problems, and even, especially there's Christian Arabs living in Bethlehem and, you know, in quite a few places in Israel. They don't want to have any problems. But as far as the religious, those people that are following Islam, those are the ones that are causing the problems, and it's getting more. It's increasing, I should say.
I thought they'd driven most of the Palestinian Arabs out of Bethlehem. Are there still a few there?
These are
Christian Arabs in Bethlehem.
Yeah, they have decreased quite a bit. It used to be about 90% Christian, and now it's 7%, if that much now. More and more people are leaving because of the problems with the Muslims in Bethlehem.
You know, because we used to take our tours over there. We'd always stop at the stores that were run by, I think they were probably Christian Arabs or Christian Sunni. They were had very nice shops over there, and they were very, very friendly people. But apparently there's a lot of friction in Bethlehem. This is just outside the gates of Jerusalem, isn't there?
Yeah, it's right on the southern part of Jerusalem. And yes, a lot of shops are still there, the Christian shops, but many of them have closed up. A lot of the people I know, the Arab Christians that used to make olive wood products, have closed their shops and are working at other shops now. A lot of them are out of business. A lot of the motels or hotels have closed up because of the problems. But you know, actually, if tourists come over there, they are so safe because no one wants to hurt a tourist. The Palestinians need the tourist money. And the Israelis want the tourist money. So you're not going to be, I'm talking to the people that want to come to Israel and are afraid to, don't be afraid to come to Israel because you are protected. People don't want to hurt the tourists.
And because I didn't know when we were there, why they guarded the tourists very, very carefully. We never saw any, had any problems. We've been there 6 times at least. We'll be right back here. Well, this is Dr. Stan, and certainly our guest is Cheryl Hancock. Well, Cheryl, what's happening as far as the Christians? What about the Christian Jews in Jerusalem? Are they under a lot of pressure from the Orthodox Jews?
Well, I have to tell you that, unfortunately, the persecution has stepped up a lot. It's very bad right now on the Christian Jews. We call them Messianic Jews. First of all, the Christian foreigners, a lot of them are being kicked out. I lost 2 translators this year and co-workers. One cannot even get back in the country. The other one's working to get back in the country. They don't want the Christians there. They're afraid, the ultra-Orthodox Jews, they're afraid that the Christians are going to missionize or go to the Jewish people and change them into Christians and taking away their Jewishness, which means you're wiping out the Jewish nation. And we know that that's not the fact, that they continue to be a Jew even if they believe that the Messiah has come, being Jesus. So yes, persecution has stepped up, and even with the Messianics who you just talked about, there has been firebombs. There has been a Purim package that blew up in the face of a young boy, and he was almost killed. He should have been killed. And Ami Ortiz, I don't know if many people probably have heard of him, but there's been firebombs, there's been flash tires. The Christians, Messianic Jews, have just lost a case against an attack that happened in Beersheba. There are so many things that are happening. And I think we need to be prepared because I think one of these days it's going to come here, too, in a little bit worse manner than what it is already. But, yes, we need some prayer for the people over there.
And I think we really do. And, Chris, these are Jewish people who've come to accept the fact that Jesus is the Messiah. Certainly the Jews are all waiting for the Messiah to come. But, of course, the Christian believes the Messiah has already come and he's going to be coming again. So how do you get along with the Orthodox Jews over there? Because you live among them. You live certainly right there in the very heart of Israel. I'm sure many of the Orthodox people are wonderful people, but they're frightened that their religion is under attack.
Yeah, if you can remember Saul of Tarsus in the Bible, where he was attacking the Christians, killing Christians because he believed the Christians were attacking his God until his eyes were opened to the truth. This is what's going on. Their eyes are different. They're blinded. And, you know, I have a lot of friends that are Jewish, ultra-Orthodox Jews. I have friends that are Muslims. And everyone believes in their own little way of what's going on. But, you know, I believe in my way. I am a born-again Christian. And when I'm asked, I tell my story of the Lord and how he's changed my life. And it doesn't seem to bother any of my friends because I'm not there to push my religion on them. As a matter of fact, I can't change them. It's only the Lord that can change them, and they have to be willing. So I'm not a threat to them. It's the ones that are a threat are the ones that are pushing somebody to change or to convert their religion.
Well, you know, one of the things I've noticed talking to Messianic Jews is that many of them have had almost a supernatural experience. They've had either a vision of Jesus or something else. Something supernatural has happened to them that has brought them into the kingdom. Certainly for myself, it wasn't a supernatural experience at all. It was just a decision on my part. But I've heard this story many times from people from Messianic Jews that something happened to them very specifically. Have you heard that sort of story?
Yeah, as a matter of fact, at first it was hard for me to believe this until I talked to people face to face. I wanted to see
as they were telling me their stories, some had dreams. Some were healed, and they were told that it would be Jesus that was healing them. Even Muslims. I mean, so many Muslims I've talked to had dreams or visions or just supernatural incidents, and they received Jesus. One man came running up to me, and he said, I had a dream, and Jesus said he was going to heal me in the dream, and I woke up, and I was healed. And so I know he's God. Now, this was a Muslim, and he wanted to find a church to learn about this Jesus, and he ended up in an Orthodox church and started doing all the religious things, and then he found me, and then he learned that he could have a personal experience with Jesus and pray to him, and his whole life has changed. He was shot 3 times in the leg because he was trying to tell the people in the village what happened to him, telling them the truth, and he was shot for it. But you know what? He said, look, Jesus saved me. I didn't get shot in the chest or the head. I got shot in the legs. And he's continuing on.
Well, you know, that is amazing, and I really think people here in this country have to realize there is a supernatural element out there, and in other countries, there's probably much more supernatural things happening than there are right here, although I have heard this from Jews in America, much more so than I've ever heard this from non-Jewish people in America about this supernatural experience. Well, certainly as far as Israel is happening is concerned, I know you go into the Palestinian areas. What's happening as far as the Palestinian Arabs are? Are some of them really looking for a personal relationship with Jesus Christ? Do they realize, of course, that the Muslim religion really offers them very little? They can never really be sure they're going to get to heaven?
Yeah, that is the truth. I mean, they have 5 pillars to follow, and if they don't do all those 5 pillars, they could probably make it into heaven if they become a martyr. And being a martyr means you go in and you kill people that are your enemies, and usually that's the Jewish people. So that's why there's so many suicide attacks in Israel, men and women. And they think that's the way they're going to get into heaven. Well, you know, when I go into the Palestinian areas, I've been taking clothing and food to these people because a lot of them don't have much in these areas. And they're wanting to know why I'm doing what I am. And I tell them, because this is what the Lord's put on my heart, is to help people, to love all people, just like He does. And they ask who my Lord is, and I tell them how much of a loving God He is, and they said, that's what we want. We never hear about a loving God in the mosque, never. We hear about violence, we hear about perversion, because they're able to marry a girl when she's 9 years old. And they say, we want out of this. We don't want our children to grow up and become martyrs. We want them to grow up and become doctors and lawyers, like the regular world, like the West. And so these people are coming to the Lord like crazy. I can't keep up with the work. They want to be baptized. They'll call me. I've got 3 people waiting to be baptized when I get back there.
Well, yeah, I think this is really amazing, and I think it's really is wonderful. And really, from the Muslim point of view, the only way you can really be sure you're going to get to heaven is become a martyr and kill yourself. Otherwise, you know, you always wonder whether you're going to get to heaven, whether you're going to be really worthy of getting in there. And that isn't a very good alternative, either living your whole life in fear of this God of punishment, or certainly going ahead and becoming a martyr and killing other people. But other than the fact that you die in jihad, there is no guarantee you're going to get to heaven. Is that right? This is what I understand.
Yeah, this is what they believe. And then I asked the women, well, what happens to the men when they become martyrs and they die? The word is that they get to go to heaven. They have 72 virgins. And I asked the women, well, what do you get when you go to heaven? And they said, well, we get to be the madams of the 72 virgins. So their belief system is so outrageous that when you start to tell them about the Bible and tell them about the truth, they really get it. They really understand. And they want it, and they receive it. It's absolutely amazing what's going on in the Muslim world all over.
And, you know, Chris, we've actually talked to a minister who has a television ministry in Iran, and he tells me really the tremendous number of people who are coming to know the Lord in Iran, you know. So they're all different people doing all different sorts of things that are reaching people throughout the world. This certainly is an exciting time to live, especially for those who know the Lord. In fact, I don't know how you'd be able to live really without knowing Him, because otherwise life becomes really, really hopeless, simply a matter of quiet desperation.
Yeah, and I agree with that, because what do you have to hope in? With the things that are happening, not only in the Middle East, but even in America, things are changing rapidly. Every time I come to America, America has gone down a little bit further, and it's not good. And we see things like this mosque wanting to build a mosque down at the Ground Zero. Why? Why is that? Why do they want to build this mosque? Because, you know, what Islam means is submit. And this is like a slap in the face to the Americans, whether the people believe it or not, that they want Americans, they want Christianity, they want the Jews to submit to Islam. You don't have to become a Muslim, but you have to submit. So this is really, it's not a good thing for them to have this mosque over there in Ground Zero.
No, it certainly isn't. Well, that's another subject all into itself. But anyway, as far as this, and where do you get, you mentioned, I know when you go into these areas where you usually take clothing or food or Bibles or things of that sort, where do you get the food? I mean, are these things shipped to you from the United States? I know that you have a church that does help you as far as your ministry over there, but how are you able to manage that? How are you able actually to live?
Well, there are people from all different areas that support the work that I do. They want me to be over there to actually report. So part of my ministry is to bring the gospel truth over there to the people that want it. The other part of my ministry is bring the truth about Israel to the West. So when I do these speaking tours, I'm not out to raise money. I'm out to tell the truth about Israel. And the money just comes in. And people bring, when they come over as tourists, they bring an extra suitcase full of goods, new clothing, vitamins, whatever it takes, to help the people there, or I buy the food. I buy staples like oil and flour and sugar, whatever's needed, and take it into these people. We don't lack anything. It seems like whatever is in need, we have. There are Christian organizations in Israel that have helped with used clothing, and so we kind of work together as a community over there in Israel also.
Well, Sydney, Cheryl does a wonderful job of ministering over there. My wife and I wish we could do that sort of thing, but we've been called to be here on the radio. But we do support Cheryl. We really believe her work is important. And Sydney will tell you a little later how you can learn more about this. Now, you're here in the United States. You're on a speaking tour, and you're going to be going all across the country. Are you looking for churches or other groups to invite you or what?
Oh, not really. What happened was when I put out, and when I tell people I'm coming to the United States, I get so many invitations that sometimes I can't do them all. I try to go everywhere that I'm asked, and if other people want me to come and stop at their church, I would try to fit it in. I have a pretty heavy schedule, but again, I will try to fit it in if they want me to come. I'm going to be going up to Roseburg, Oregon. I'm in California now, the southern part of California. I'll be driving up to Roseburg and then all the way back down to California. This is my West Coast tour. I split the United States in three sections because I have so many places to speak at.
Well, right, we'll tell you in a little later in the program how you can contact Cheryl through her email. But I mean, she gives a wonderful story, and a very inspirational story of her ministry over there. And isn't it wonderful to know that Cheryl and others are over there in the Holy Land, bring the message, the promise of salvation to people, many of them who live totally without hope. We'll be back in just a moment. Well, Cheryl, it's my understanding that
gold and silver is tremendously undervalued. Global demand vastly exceeds mine supply by more than 60% annually. There is little in the financial world more certain than a coming explosion in the prices of gold and silver. The U.S. dollar continues to lose value and respect as the world's reserve currency. Our nation faces challenges on many fronts, and a day doesn't pass without another economist bringing forth warnings of impending economic calamity. There has never been a better time than right now to acquire physical gold and silver. Discount Gold and Silver Trading was founded on the principles of truth and honesty. We believe in providing a quality product, quality service, and most importantly, competitive pricing. We provide all forms of precious metals, including American gold, silver, platinum, and rare investment and circulated coins. Silver bars, rounds, and 90% silver bags are on hand for the silver investor. Gold self-directed IRAs are available. Call Discount Gold and Silver Trading at 1-800-375-4188. Toll free, that's 1-800-375-4188.
Well, many men begin having prostate symptoms when they get to be 60 years of age, so Radio Liberty is offering a great product. It's called Prostate Support. It's put together by one of the country's leading health food manufacturers. It contains ingredients which have been proven to work. I know health experts who take the product, and I use it as well, and I think that really is very effective. In addition, we have a product for women during that difficult time of life. It's called Menopause Support. And lastly, we have a product for people who have chronic difficulty with their immune system and nothing else seems to work, it's called Immune Support. All are available by calling 1-800-544-8927. 1-800-544-8927. These products are compiled by a very reliable company. Give us a call, 1-800-544-8927.
Did you know that there's an increasing amount of scientific data which says that fluoride in drinking water is dangerous? Are you aware that your drinking water may in fact contain many unhealthy substances, even things which can cause sickness or disease? If you'd like information on how to remove these contaminants, find out about the Verkey water filter. You can call 800-544-8927 for complete information. There is a way to return to having pure, safe drinking water. The Verkey water filter. Call 800-544-8927 for information about a product that could protect you and your family from waterborne disease. The number to call is 800-544-8927. Call today.
This is Pastor David Whitney with Institute on the Constitution. Our founders constructed this constitutional republic with the intent that citizens would function as the final check on the power of civil government. But that design would only work if the citizens understood our form of government as well as their responsibilities within that structure. That's why Institute on the Constitution has put together a host kit that enables anyone, anywhere, with any group of people to instruct them on our founding documents. We urge you to order a host kit. You can call us toll free at 866-730-9796. That's 866-730-9796. Or you can order on the web. Go to our website, iotconline.com. The only way our republic will survive is if its citizens arm themselves with the knowledge of our founding fathers' original intent of the Constitution, the Declaration, and the Bill of Rights. Call us, 866-730-9796.
My telephone number is 1-888-24-LIBERTY. 1-888-24-LIBERTY or 464-8295. And Cheryl's on the front lines of this battle. She certainly has been living. How long have you been in Israel? What, 4 or 5 years now?
No, it's over 11 years.
Is it really that? Well, of course, I didn't know you during the early part of that. You've been there for 11 years?
Time is blown, yes, 11 years.
All right, fine. And, of course, it's interesting to know that a number of Jewish people are coming to know the Lord. A number of Palestinians are coming to know the Lord. And you work with both groups, don't you?
Yeah, actually, I work with all people. There are Bedouins there. There are Druze there. And I started a ministry with a local believer who was a Muslim, and he became a Christian. And we called the ministry Love Without Borders because he said that he doesn't want any borders, that we should go to anyone that Jesus would go to. And Jesus said he came for the world. So whoever comes in my path is who I help with either food or clothing and always ministry material. Whatever they want, whatever they ask for is what I try to help with. So, yeah.
All right, fine. Well, Sydney, now, what about the government there? It seems that we actually have a young man named Barry Shamus. He's not young, I guess. He's getting on in age. He's been writing about the corruption of the Israeli government for 30 years. And I realize, of course, as a visitor to the country, you probably can't say too much about the government. Sydney, are things fairly stable? The economy fairly stable? How is Israel doing? Certainly, we know they're very dependent upon the tourist industry, but what about other industries?
Well, first of all, I'd say they're a little bit more stable than America as far as the economy goes, but one of their biggest industries, they actually export a lot of things. You know, there's prophecies in the Bible that talk about Israel will bud and the deserts will be filled and they will send fruit all over the world. Well, they export $200 million in flowers every year and $800 million in produce every year. Their tourist industry, as you said, is a huge industry over there, and they've had more tourists last year and this year than they have since the year 2000. So the tourism business is actually picking up. Israel's doing very well, but the cost of living there is very high. Gas is $8 a gallon. Most families have one car. The wages are lower than in America. So I don't know how the people really make it over there, but they seem to be doing fine.
All right, fine. Now, what about, have you run at all any of the people who had been living in Gaza who were forced to give up their homes and, you're already at almost a rifle point, a bayonet point, and forced to come back to Israel? Have you run into any of the Gaza refugees?
Yes, I went and talked with them and interviewed them when they first came out of Gaza, when they were living in tents. Then they were living in some hotel rooms. Some of them haven't even been placed into homes. It really uprooted their lives. A lot of them did grow flowers and produce and export those things, and now they don't know what to do with their lives because that was their job, that was their career. So it was a big move for nothing, because the people were supposed to move out so that that Gaza would give them peace, and that was the deal, in return for peace, to leave Gaza. But that hasn't happened. It's never happened in the past, and I don't believe it's ever going to happen in the future.
Well, no, there seems to be a lot of pressure to take the settlements out, and for the listeners out there, that is the Jewish areas, the towns in Samaria, Judea and Samaria, and they call those the settlement areas, but some of these are fairly close to Israel, and yet there's tremendous pressure to force them out of Judea and Samaria with the idea, well, of course, we promised to give you peace if you left Gaza, you didn't get it, but now if you just give us Judea and Samaria, then we'll give you peace. What's going on there?
Yeah, maybe that'll work. No, I really don't think. I think people should look at history and learn lessons from it, because if it didn't work in Gaza, it's not going to work in Judea and Samaria. They gave over Bethlehem. They gave over Jericho. It hasn't happened. It's not going to happen. And Arafat wanted to wipe out the Jewish people, the Palestinian Authority, and that's what was said to the Arab people. Abu Mazen, who is the prime minister of the Palestinian people, is saying the same thing to the Arab people. The only difference is he wears a suit and tie, and he talks very nice to the West. So it's the same program. There is not going to be any peace. They're not going to stop fighting. It's just not going to happen. And a lot of Jewish people want to close their ears to it, but many have their ears open to it, and they know better.
Well, I think that Israel is moving into a very, very difficult time, ladies and gentlemen. And when the war comes, and I have said this before and I will reiterate it, without divine intervention, there is no way Israel can withstand the attack of 45,000 sophisticated missiles from Lebanon, or certainly 85,000. We don't know how many there are. Do you have any idea how many missiles there are, Cheryl? I mean, we hear all sorts of conflicting reports.
No, I heard statistics that is very comparable to what you're saying. And I know that recently there is more. Syria is bringing them through the border. The UN is just watching these weapons come through to the Hezbollah.
They're
not stopping it.
Hold that thought. We'll be back. Give us a call, 1-888-24-LIBERTY. This is Dr. Stan back here, and of course our guest is Cheryl Hancock, and we're talking about what is going on in Israel. And of course the Israeli people certainly are prepared for war. I think most of them really don't even want to think about it. Well, how would we feel, you know, if we knew that there were people down in Mexico that had sophisticated missiles that could lob them to every spot in our nation with extreme accuracy? They would have hundreds of thousands of missiles to use it to attack against America, and it's going to be coming within a few weeks, and the government was passing out gas masks because they think there's going to be chemical or biological warfare. How would the American people feel about that? Well, I think a lot of people would simply just turn it off because it's too horrible to contemplate. Do you ever get the idea that the one reason the Israelis don't seem to be running or leaving, they just turn their minds off and say, it can't happen, it can't be real? What's your impression talking to them?
I would say some of them feel that way, but not a lot. I went down to Sderot, and even during the war, I talked to people that lived down there. And part of their problem is they say, Well, if we move, we own a home here, and yes, the missiles have been coming in for 8 years, but if we leave, who's going to buy our house? No one will. And they said, if we leave, who's going to have the front line? What they'll do is they'll move closer into Israel and be able to shoot even further in. So what they're doing is they feel like they're on the front lines and they've got to hold their position. So a lot of Israelis are just like old school. They're holding their, they're standing in their place and they're not moving. They know that this is a war and they are on the front line.
And I think for our listeners, Sderot is in the southern part of Israel, and this is the town that has been attacked repeatedly by Hamas missiles. Fortunately, the missiles have not been very accurate, and so they fire them in the general direction, and some of them hit the town. But they're very, very few people have actually died, or very many targets of any consequence have been hit. What's frightening is what Cheryl was saying earlier, is that one of the missiles that Hamas had fired recently, and they're the people in the south, was a really sophisticated missile, one they were able to target, and that was the one, of course, they didn't target it very well. They hit the Jordanian town rather than the Israeli town. We'll be back here in just a moment with Cheryl Hancock. Well, this is Dr. Stan. Our telephone number, 1-888-24-LIBERTY, 1-888-24-LIBERTY, or 464-8295. If you have a question for Cheryl, who's been living over there 11 or 12 years in Israel on the front lines, really in one of the most important places in the whole world. Why would Israel be that important? It's just a little tiny country. Some places it's only 8 or 9, 10 miles wide. Between the border, between the Palestinian area and the sea. Yet I believe God has picked this area, and it is, we're always been told that Jerusalem, that area would be a cup of trembling. Well, certainly give us a call, 1-888-24-LIBERTY or 464-8295. But Cheryl, would you like to give your email site out and tell people who could get in touch with your ministry?
Yeah, the email is grateful, G-R-A-T-E-F-U-L, grateful at lovewithoutborders.com.
Is it com or org?
Oh, I'm sorry, it's org.
Okay,
yes.
Grateful at lovewithoutborders.org. Now, the only reason I know that is because Ari had actually put that up on the screen here for me, so... he says, what about INT? What's that?
It is Love Without Borders International. So we put, it's grateful at lovewithoutbordersint.org. We wanted to make it international because one of my translators, who is a Muslim, he got asylum in Norway. And he is starting Love Without Borders in Norway.
All right, so that's grateful at lovewithoutbordersint.org. Lovewithoutbordersint.org. That's grateful at lovewithoutbordersint.org. And of course, I get Cheryl's emails on a regular basis and always enjoy them and get an idea of what's going on over there and what she's doing. And of course, dealing with the Palestinians and helping the Palestinians. And of course, these people, what's the employment rate there in Palestine? These people are really impoverished, aren't they?
Wow, yeah, they are very. The average wage is about $300 a month, and in Gaza, it's even less than that. There is no work, pretty much no work in the West Bank. And in the Gaza, one of the best jobs you can get is by digging tunnels, which is $20 a day, and they usually hire children because they pay them lower wages. There's over 1,000 tunnels that go to Egypt now to smuggle in goods and arms. But yes, there is no work in the West Bank, none to speak of.
Well, let's go. Our guest is Herman, calling from Carmel. Again, our number 1-888-24-LIBERTY, 1-888-24-LIBERTY. Hi, Herman. How are you doing tonight?
Oh, thrilled to have Cheryl back in the U.S.
Hi, Herman. Welcome. Thank you.
It's so wonderful to hear, you know, live reports from the Holy Land, and I've been there twice, and I just encourage anyone who's listening, it will be a highlight of your life if you get to go.
And I agree.
I was there in Jerusalem and Galilee and Masada and the Dead Sea, all the sites, and I was also among the Palestinians, and they are wonderful people, and... So, and I think we need to really be praying for the peace. You know, the Bible says, pray for the peace of Jerusalem, because it will be a cup of trembling for the nations at the end of the age. And I think we're approaching that rapidly.
Well, there's no question that war is coming to that area. Everything is in place. And the average American here just, you know, sort of yawns and cannot imagine that our life could be changed dramatically by what's going on over there. But believe me, if Israel strikes Iran, as I anticipate they will within the next few weeks, and of course they will end up then blocking the Straits of Hormuz, so the Iranians will, preventing the flow of oil, which means gasoline will go to $5 or $6 a gallon. And remember what happened, of course, in mid-2008 when the price of oil went up to $4 or $5 a gallon. It suddenly it just stopped the whole economy in this country. Ladies and gentlemen, what's going on over there is going to have a profound impact on the people of America, whether they recognize it or want, whether they want to or not, where we live in one world. And, of course, what happens to the people over there is going to have a profound impact on us. And I really feel that this war is going to be different than any war we've ever fought before. Herman, go right ahead. Again, our number, 1-888-24-LIBERTY, 1-888-24-LIBERTY, or 464-8295.
Well, you know, Cheryl, I know that I've listened to one of your talks at a local church service. Are you planning to do any talks locally, or that listeners might be able to attend? Or
yes, I'm going to definitely be speaking in Monterey. I'll be speaking at Sar Shalom. I will be speaking in Salinas. If people email me at the address I gave, I will send them my itinerary.
Yeah,
so
it was in my car. Could you give us that again?
Yes. Okay. It's grateful. GRATEFUL.
Mm-hmm.
At Love Without Borders.
INT.
INT. .org.
Okay, could you repeat that? Grateful at Love Without Borders.
INT. .org. And I will answer that and send my itinerary to you.
Okay, that's great.
I will be speaking in the States until the end of October and then plan to go back to Israel after that.
Mm-hmm. Cheryl, I know that you've been in very dangerous situations. Do you have maybe some words of encouragement for people here in America who obviously there are many who've lost their jobs, who are facing really uncertain times, and a lot of churches, they teach you about God, but you don't learn to have a relationship with Him. And so for someone who's listening, who's maybe wondering, well, how do I really break through to that? Do you have any comments that might help them?
Well, I know that even before I went to Israel, I was in different circumstances that made me hold on to the Lord. I was in the Word, the Bible, a lot. I was trying to understand this Christianity. And when I stepped out into Israel and things started happening, I was attacked. There was a hand grenade in my backyard, a pipe bomb in my carport, a rock they threw at my car, tried to kill me. I'd been attacked the past year by rocks and dirt and all kinds of stuff. But what I found out is the more I stepped out and trusted the Lord, the more He would be there to protect me. And, you know, my relationship with Him has grown so much because I'm single. I'm a female over there living in Israel and very dangerous, going to Palestinian areas, going through the West Bank. And it's the Lord that has to protect me. So I stand on that word. I take Him by His promises, and He has never, ever let me down. He is faithful. And my relationship has grown since I've been over there. So I would encourage anyone to step out and do anything you think the Lord's telling you to, whether it be to talk to your neighbor or step out into a job or serve Him in some way and watch Him move in your life.
And I think that's really so true. I do believe that the terrible things that I do believe are coming very soon to America are going to have, you know, as terrible as they are, they will have a beneficial effect, because people are going to have to learn to become increasingly reliant upon the Lord. And I hope that in times of crisis, people begin looking for answers. And you've got to be out there, the listening audience, able to give them the answers and let them understand that We're not involved in a political or ideological or cultural battle. We're involved in a spiritual battle. And,
right.
of course, their only protection, of course, is the personal relationship with the Lord. And they don't have know how to get it. Why shouldn't you get Pastor Billy Crone's DVDs? He was on with us this last hour. And you get his every one of his talks ends with a personal invitation to come to a personal relationship with our Lord. Anything else you'd like to say, Herman, before we let you go?
Well, President Obama, some people think that he is Muslim or certainly not friendly towards Israel, but how would you advise people to pray for President Obama? I know some people don't feel like praying for him, but what is your take on that?
Well, there have been a lot of changes since Obama has become our president. And as the word tells us, we need to pray for our leaders. And I think if we pray for him, that he gets wisdom from the Lord somehow, that maybe it can change things. Because our prayers really do go to the Lord. He hears our prayers and he changes things. Israel's in a tough position right now. Obama is also tough on the Palestinians. So it's causing a ruckus, if you can't find a better word, in Israel and between the negotiations that are going on there. We really need to pray, as Herman said, for the peace of Jerusalem, which is with the peace negotiations right now that's going on there, and for a president, because he needs to have the wisdom on how to guide this as being in the United States here.
Well, I think what's really so interesting is Chrissy's made a number of statements suggesting that America will not necessarily come to Israel's aid, but I can assure you that if Israel strikes Iran, which I believe it's going to, America will be there backing Israel by one means or another. There will be an incident of some sort that will justify America's entering the war. I can guarantee you that, almost guarantee you that. Our telephone number is 1-888-24-LIBERTY, 1-888-24-LIBERTY, or 464. And ladies and gentlemen, we're not talking about something in the distant future. We're talking something that is perhaps days or weeks or at the most months away. And not only that, it's going to have a profound economic impact on this country, and I fear that it's also going to result in increasing unrest and chaos and crisis here. Our telephone number, 1-888-24-LIBERTY. Our guest, of course, is Cheryl Hancock, and we're just so pleased she's here, and she's going to be going on a speaking tour all up and down the coast, and so she'll be speaking in our area here where I live, and she'll be speaking in San Luis Obispo, and this tour is going to be primarily West Coast. But I can promise you, if your church or group would like to hear why her message is a wonderful and inspiring message. Herman, go ahead.
Cheryl, I know that as a journalist in Israel and getting out the message of what's happening on both sides over there, you're probably not getting rich because you're not working for the New York Times. But I know that part of your work involves a charity and bringing needed supplies to people. How can people help, or are people helping you to do that?
Yeah, well, people can email me. If a group is coming over, a tourist group, I can meet up with that group. They can bring an extra suitcase. You're allowed 2 50-pound bags, luggage, to bring to Israel, and you can fill up one with eyeglasses at the dollar store. You can fill up with vitamins, with tennis shoes, with coats for the kids, and I can meet with you, and I can even introduce people to the locals that are in need, because it gives you an eye-opening of what's really going on, and they can tell you their stories. A lot of people that I work with are very poor, and they want people to understand what's going on in their lives, whether they're Palestinians, whether they're ultra-Orthodox Jews or Bedouins, it doesn't matter. They want the West to understand them, and this is a good way to do it. The other ways are to just email and ask what the needs are, and then I can let you know in what ways we can be helped over there. As far as the media, yeah, I do my reports. I've been asked to write for the Jerusalem Post and for different magazines now, and so getting the truth out is a very big part of what I do. So, yeah, it's just a wonderful thing to be over there in Israel, to see the truth, because I'm in the villages. Most journalists don't get to go in the villages. They just hear what's going on, and they write about what they know. But I get to meet the people and interview them for the radio. It's absolutely amazing.
Well, do most of the Jews that you encounter over there, are they there because they really believe in this idea of a Jewish homeland? And is this what is attracting people to come to the country at this time?
You know, that's part of it. They do believe in a Jewish homeland. They call it a Jewish state and a democratic state. But also, I have interviewed people coming into the airport, making Aliyah, immigration. I asked them why. I interviewed a woman from England, and she said, the reason I'm moving is because people are taking over our country, and I don't feel safe in England anymore. So that's why she's come over. Anti-Semitism is driving people to Israel. Another woman from Canada told me she's going to Israel because she feels that she needs to stand with the Israeli people because the Jewish people are her people. And then I interviewed an American woman, and I asked her why she's moving to Israel, and she said, I just don't know. So she just feels a pull to move to Israel. There's different reasons for different people, but thank God these Jewish people are pulling together. They're standing together.
I really think that is amazing, you know, because I can look back on my life, and sometimes I did things, and I had no idea why I was doing them. They just, in some ways, didn't seem logical. But I knew
right.
I was supposed to do them. And I think that's exactly what this woman was saying. She didn't know why she was in Israel, but she knew she should be there. Okay, our telephone number, 1-888-24-LIBERTY, 464-8295. Herman, anything else you wanted to cover?
Yes, in the last several years, there has been a move among churches and also other groups and companies to support the terrorist organizations in Israel and in Gaza, and I'm just wondering, are you concerned with the how the message is getting out of what's really happening in Israel? In other words, if the messages we read here in our papers are completely slanted, that's going to create more of a problem, won't it?
Yes, yeah, you're exactly right. I'm glad you talked about that because it is a big issue. Right now, Israel is losing the media war and they're losing the propaganda war. They're losing in so many ways because, let's say, the flotilla that you've heard about coming from Turkey was supposed to be humanitarian aid. Well, we all knew in Israel that there would be a problem. It wasn't fully humanitarian aid. When Israel went down on that boat, they went to address the captain saying, this boat is under arrest. They didn't expect to be hit in the head, though they knew that it was going to be some terrorists on the boat or backed by terrorism. Now, the problem is there's 120 trucks of international aid going into Gaza every single day, and the storekeepers are saying, stop sending the aid in because we can't sell the stuff in our store. In other words, there's so much going in that people can't sell the things. So what people are hearing here is that the Palestinians are being kept poor because of the Israelis and what they're doing. And they're building a wall to grab the land from the Palestinians. If there was not suicide bombings, there would not be a wall. There would not be checkpoints. We have to remember why these things have come into place. And, you know, I have a lot of bad things I could say about Israel because I've been hurt by them a lot. But I have to stand up for them and say, hey, they are protecting themselves. And people are getting the wrong slant on them because they're hearing the wrong news. They're not checking it out for themselves. And the Bible says, you know, to study these things and make sure that that's the truth, and that's what we need to do, is to fight the lies with the truth. We need to study this out, guys, and Israel is in the right, not in the wrong. So many people are becoming pro-Palestinian because they're hearing the wrong message.
Well, unfortunately, the media in America is controlled. There's an agenda there. But Sydney, I believe things are beginning to fit into place. There is a plan, and I believe the plan has been in place for 31 years, and that is since the CIA installed the mullahs there in Tehran back in 1979. And at the time, I said to myself, why would we be installing the mullahs, overthrow the Shah, and then bring the mullahs to power? That just doesn't make any sense, you know? But now, 31 years later, we see that everything is in place for America to go to war with Iran. Sometimes we seem to create the best enemies that money could buy. We'll be back in just a moment. Well, Herman, anything else you wanted to say before we let you go?
Final comment. So, are you finding churches here?
heart disease is on the rise. Clogged arteries, high blood pressure, and high cholesterol levels may not be fully detected by you, but the symptoms are there. Loss of energy, blood sugar spikes and drops, poor circulation, and irregular heartbeat are just a few of these that can alert you that something is wrong. Hear how Heart and Body Extract is making a difference in thousands of people's lives across America.
My blood pressure has normalized. My diabetes has totally improved.
Everyone is telling me now how much healthier I look, and I'm telling everyone how much healthier I feel. I recommend Heart and Body Extract to everyone.
Anybody over 40 in the North American continent should be using this product as a preventative to keep their cardiovascular system healthy.
Order your two-month supply today by calling 866-295-5305. That's 866-295-5305. Or order online, hbextract.com. Heart and Body Extract, 866-295-5305 or hbextract.com.
You may be new to freeze-dried foods. You may have storable food questions. You may want to buy your freeze-dried foods from a very reputable company and not go broke in the process. Welcome to the Freeze-Dry Guy. Okay, actually, we're more than just one guy. We're a California-based company that's been serving our U.S. military and other government agencies with the finest in freeze-dried storable foods and emergency rations since 1970. See all about us at freezedryguy.com. With Freeze-Dry Guy freeze-dried foods, you can and will be ready for just about any unexpected crisis. Freeze-dried guy foods are delicious, require little preparation, and will taste just as fresh decades from now as they do today. Just add hot water and serve. Backpackers consistently rate us number one year after year as the best tasting and ease of preparation. Isn't that what you want for your family? Visit freezedryguy.com or call 866-404-FOOD. That's 866-404-3663 or go to freezedryguy.com. Freeze-dry guy, the best you can buy.
Where are my car keys? What did I come in this room for? Where did I put that?
A common condition called age-related memory loss is robbing millions of people of their ability to remember and think clearly. And Alzheimer's and Parkinson's are occurring at younger ages, even early 20s and 30s. And there's much evidence that brain inflammation may be the cause. Brain inflammation may also cause depression and insomnia. But there's great news. Studies show by taking special, powerful nutrients, brain inflammation and its damaging effects may be greatly reduced. And that's why neurosurgeon Dr. Russell Blaylock created his brain repair formula to reduce brain inflammation and maintain a healthy brain. So, for a free book on brain health or information on Dr. Blaylock's special brain repair formula, call 1-800-SPECIAL or visit 1-800-SPECIAL.com. 1-800-SPECIAL.
Her work is well worthwhile. She's never asked for funds. God has been providing them for her. If you're touring over there, why, be sure that you take along an extra suitcase with food or with medicines or with eyeglasses or with Bibles or whatever you possibly can. But right now, I think things are going to be in a very difficult position in Israel. We are moving into a war. The United States is going to war. It's not a matter of, in my estimation, of if, but it's a matter of when. You do not have 100 naval bases, 100 naval vessels, you know, in the Persian Gulf and the Sea of Oman and the Arabian Sea and the Red Sea. They're not over there simply for a summer exercise. It's in preparation for war. This war has been planned for a long time. Be certain you are well prepared for what lies ahead. Certainly you need to have adequate food supplies on hand. You need to have the Berkey water filters. You need to have your alternative medical health care products. If you have medical problems, go to your doctor and get 3 or 4 prescriptions and get them filled so you'll have them on hand. We do not know what lies ahead. But if here we're entering a very uncertain time, my good friend Joel Skousen, my friend Dennis Cuddy thinks this will be a short interlude, a short war, a short but violent war. I hope and pray they're right. I'm just not certain what's going to happen other than the fact that they've been preparing for this war for 31 years. There is a timetable, and when you begin to understand that there really is a timetable, there really is an invisible government. I call it the Brotherhood of Darkness. And, of course, behind that are powerful spiritual forces. And until you understand this is a spiritual battle, none of this makes sense. We hope you'll read my book, Brotherhood of Darkness. We hope you'll watch the DVDs, The Secret Mystery of America's Beginning, very professionally done. There are three DVDs in a set. Get one or two or get all three of them together if you'd like. We want you to watch The Emergence by Constance Cumby, who's been studying this since the early 1980s, and she's talking about the emergence of the coming world leader, because the whole idea is a one world government and a one world religion and a one world financial system and a one world ruler. And the emergence is the coming of the world ruler. And then, of course, we hope that you want to get the DVD on the Atlantis Connection. That's the Atlantis Connection. We have so many other things. Go to our website, RadioLiberty.com. We've got three great DVDs that Alex Jones has put out, The Invisible Empire, Police State 4, and, of course, the Loose Chains, the final cut. We have the Surveillance Society, Catherine Halbeck's excellent DVD, about how everything is in place to watch everyone in America, because, believe me, the war is going to be used to expand government control over your life in the name of protecting us from those wicked terrorists that we have been financing all along. If you doubt that we have financed the wicked terrorists, you need, of course, to read the book. It's entitled The Devil's Game. We carry it. We think it's an important book. This whole radical Islamic movement has been financed by the United States. And if you haven't seen our three pamphlets that we have on what's happened as far as attack at 911. You need to get that. The three pamphlets in a set, and they simply take you into what really happened, the attack on the World Trade Center on September 11th. You need to have the information. You need to understand that everything you've been told is a lie. Go to our website, RadioLiberty.com, watch Building 7 come down, and then we ask you to pray for America, to pray for revival, to pray for our leaders and ministers, but please pray for Radio Liberty, our provision, and our protection.
You're tuned to the Global Star Radio Network. Thanks for listening.
Welcome to the Power Hour, ladies and gentlemen. Thank you for joining us today. It is 19 August 2010. How did we get this far into the year? How grateful we are, how blessed we are to be here, and I thank you all very much for joining us today. You are wanted at the Power Hour. You are appreciated at the Power Hour. So thank you for getting up. If you're on the West Coast early in the morning, thank you for caring about your world, because there's a lot to care about, and there is a lot to talk about and to teach other people about. And one of those things that we need to start with is that backscatter machine at the airport. You know what? Now is the time to say, not no, but heck no, I'm not going through your machine. Wait till I tell you why, in this next segment, you don't want to go through their machine. As if you didn't already know that radiation was a bad enough problem.